And it's by the grace of God that I'm here. And I am so nervous. And when I get like this, it's because I have no control on how God is going to carry this message. I'd like to thank the committee for asking me to come, because when they asked me to do Love and Lust, I thought maybe they thought I was an expert in this or something. It came a lot of pain to understand some stuff. So what I want to do is do this. There's going to be a couple of key things that I'm going to talk about, like having seasonal people with lifetime expectations. I'm going to talk about, now this is all dealing with love and lust. You understand what I'm saying? I'm going to talk about when people show you who they are, you need to believe them without trying to change them. Because I worked hard for my recovery. I'm in my 16th year. And I'm telling you, it was a hard journey. You need to understand where I come from. See, I always buy friendship. See, being gay in D.C., especially living in Southeast, you need to understand something. Either you're going to fight or you're going to sit on the front. So I had to fight. And let me tell you something about being a people pleaser. Being everything for everybody else and not believing that you the person. When I came in the program, and I remember when I was hurting, because it first started out with the love of crack. You need to understand that. I love that. That was the thing that tell me to get up. You ain't got time to brush your teeth. You ain't got time to take no bath. You need to come and get me. You understand what I'm saying? Then coming in the program and people telling you that they're going to love me until I learn how to love myself. I remember Doreen saying, if you ain't good enough for nobody else, you're good enough for Narcotics Anonymous. You understand what I'm saying? And when I came here, I had a lot of issues that I needed to work on. I didn't really think that I was as sick as some of the people in the meeting that I heard. And I said, well, if you going through all that, maybe you should try the steps. If you sleeping with all them people, try the steps. Identifying out. I forget that I have a disease of addiction. That means it'll manifest in all areas of my life if I don't get a hold of it. And what happened was, one day a feeling came. I read in the literature that it says that when you surrender, you'll get a void. There's a void left where you're going to try to fill it with temporary anesthesia. You're going to fall in love easily. You really don't know what love is. And I dare you to tell me I can't get in a relationship. But I had a sponsor that said, you know what? Whatever you go through, just don't use, because it's about not using. You understand what I'm saying? Don't use at all. And I ain't understand that until you get clean. When you stay clean for a couple of years, the revelation is different. You understand what I'm saying? You know, my sponsor said, why don't you stop recycling trash? What do you mean? First of all, you got an issue with you. You don't think you're good enough for anybody else. So you'll go to the trash bin to get somebody else to make you feel good about you. Because you don't have the ability to do it for yourself. And I'm telling you, it whooped me to a pulp. I mean, I was having sex with people. Listen to me. I was having sex with people I didn't want to have sex with. They were laying in my clean sheets, and they wasn't even worthy of that. And where I got some help from, one day I was tricking, because that's actually what that's called. For those who are in denial, it's called tricking. So one day I picked up this suffering addict. The addict was suffering. But my bright idea was saying, you know, well, I got $10. Those for the ones who creep after 12 midnight. And nobody else in the program know that you're doing it, because you're in a meeting talking all that good stuff, talking about how you're working the steps, but you're afraid to tell somebody that I'm afraid to be by myself. So I picked up the suffering addict, and we was doing our thing. We were doing our thing. This one. We were doing our thing, and after it was over, he said, I love how you were sharing in the meeting, and you have a very good message. You know what I mean? But I want my $10, though. Now, I'm not telling you that because I'm proud of that. That was my process. You understand what I'm saying? And when you start doing this step, your whole life will change. Your whole life, my life don't even belong to me anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, God having me to do some things that I really don't want to do. Like having some priorities in my life. Or being responsible for me. Learning that when you're in a relationship and if it's unhealthy for you, then you got to leave. It takes courage to leave because pain is so familiar. And I know when I was in this relationship, this is when I got the revelation. I told the person, please stop hurting me. This cannot be love. But the sex was the bomb. So I got a lot of confusion going on. You understand what I'm saying? My spirit is saying, you have enough. But my body said, give me more. And I was hurting so bad that I said, God, help me. And when you have an inkling of the steps, and when you go into meditation, and God speak to you, nobody else, it was profound to me. God said, put your gear back in first gear. Now I want you to leave. Move now. Because delayed obedience is disobedience. So when God say move, you need to move. You trust me? You telling everybody you trust me? Trust me, because the end looked better than the beginning. You understand what I'm saying? It's going to hurt you a little bit because you're addicted to being around this person. You're addicted to the sex we was having. We were addicted to arguing and cussing each other out and all this stuff. All this stuff that you think love is all about. But I found out love don't find fault. When you talk about you love somebody, you don't get in an argument and bring everything up that you done yesteryear. So God said, if you want that in your life, you got to do the same thing. You got to stop nitpicking all the time. Because you got almost 16 years in recovery. God said, leave everything. I left everything. I left the pots, the pans, everything. I left everything, everything. And we're going through the withdrawal and sponsorship. And I was calling my sponsor and saying, don't feel good because I feel like blowing this motherfucker's car up. You know what I mean? My image. You understand what I'm saying? Because you no longer can hide behind the image in this program. When you have a spiritual awakening, you can't hide no more. And I know today that I'm the only one that God could have used in this situation to carry the message to the people who still doing the same old crap. Who is confused about love? How you going to love somebody when you can't even love yourself? What I done was I welcomed the disease, because see, the disease disguised itself. You need to understand when you welcome people in your life, you need to understand what type of spirit they of. And I'm saying, good God Almighty, because I've never looked at it like that. And it's real. This disease of addiction is real. You no longer can buy clothes to make you look good when you feel like some shit on the inside, because you're afraid to come in here and tell somebody that you're lonely. And the only thing that I know how to do is trick. And when you're talking about lust, lust is not only for the flesh. You can lust for control. You can lust to manipulate. Lust is so deep, people only think that it's about touching and all that. Lust is deep, especially when you feel bad about yourself. You are lust over some control. You are lust over letting people boost you up and make you think you all of that, and you really ain't all of that. This is not a program for all of that. This is a program for people to try to get better one day at a time so they can live by themselves or live in harmony with somebody. This is what I learned. And I'm asking God, what can I share with the people that I have experienced? And what I know today, that I would rather be by myself today and stop worrying about, do I got somebody in the bed with me? I had to stop having sex for a minute. I'm talking about, because I had to, let me tell you, where I'm at in my life, I was here last year. God said, see, when you get diverted from what my purpose is for you, you got to come back until you understand what's going on. So I'm back at my mother's house. Because when I was there last year, I was supposed to be moving in my own condo, but I met somebody. They became my purpose. They became my reasons. It was no more about God's will. I fell in love. And all of a sudden, the ugly side of addiction showed up. So we're talking about understanding the steps, not only quoting the steps. You can't sit up here and tell people what you work on. That is not the program. The program is showing in how you live. They'll see it if you're living the steps. I don't got 25 minutes to sit at a bus stop and talk to you about what step you're working on. Because the third step clearly say, when you work this step, your fears and lessons will grow as you experience something, right? You ever read the literature, right? Okay. God is excellent in my life. Third step said, if you want to grow spiritually, you got to be honest about it. I got a relationship with God. God loved me so much that he allowed me to do whatever I want to do. What a great God that is. Because it made me the man I am today. You understand what I'm saying? Don't have nothing to do with my preference. You understand what I'm saying? And if the truth be told, I ain't the only one dealing with self-identity in Narcotics Anonymous. It's a hard job trying to be somebody else when you would just be good enough. trying to help other people out because you say you love them. And you're giving so much and giving so much and giving so much and giving so much when you ain't got nothing to give for yourself. So God said, you know what? And I was in a meeting. I said, God, please help me with this. Somebody say, surrender in grace. I said, surrender in grace? He said, don't complain. Don't do nothing. You know you're hurting, but it's all right. It's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I'm still learning how to hug people and not pass judgment. You know what I mean? I'm still trying to get with some brothers. Because they love me. Because I was the only gay guy going to an all men's, what is that, men's rap. I said, oh, a men's rap? Okay, I'm going up in this camp. I knew that I was doing some stuff. Because you know what? If you can talk about your girl and how you feel, I can talk about my man and how I feel. Because if you identify, we all feel the same. Because when they both leave us, we're going to be hurting. How about that one? It's awesome. And it's a terrible thing to be lost in the process and you ain't got a sponsor. You're trying to sponsor yourself. You cannot sponsor yourself in this process. Yeah, using is an option. You better believe when I got out of this relationship, you ain't think that the thought of, you know what, you ain't been clean for almost 16 years and you got like a lot of money in the bank, but you can like take $50 and you can kind of flip it. So I called somebody, told that, because I've never been a flipper in my life. I've never flipped nothing. It always flipped me. But when you get out of confusion and you say to yourself, you don't know how to love, open the door for love to come. And then you won't be so focused on sex. Because sex is not love. That's just a little benefit as a result of it. And it's highly rated anyway. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, what can you do? I mean, you didn't done it all. You know what I mean? What can you do? Now it's time to communicate. Can you hold a conversation? Can you care about me? You understand what I'm saying? Love is being selfless. Like I'm back with my mother. And I'm telling you, you talking about growing in the process and not wanting to cuss her out? Do you understand what I'm saying? Because my mother still sees me as a little boy. And I know when she get angry, she say my full name and I know she's getting ready to throw something. So I know it's time for me to go on downstairs. And I'm real glad that I got a mother. She don't judge me. And God said, if you take the blinders off, I am showing you my love. My love is unconditional. My mother's love is unconditional. I don't care what I do, how many times I fall down, she always opened up a door for me. God said, that is an example of what love is. And I didn't think that I could get through the pain of letting go something. But when you start doing the step and you got a strong foundation, because you don't know if you have a strong foundation if you're not practicing them in all your affairs. We're not talking about going to a meeting and saying I'm working on the sixth step. We're talking about when your balls get on your goddamn nerve. Are you going to let your defect mess up your serenity? I just know that my life has gotten better. I know it's gotten better. I'm not hurting anymore. I'm not hurting anymore. And I'm not hurting other people anymore. You understand what I'm saying? It has been a journey because I'll stop hurting, then hurt again. I'll stop hurting, I hurt again. I'll stop hurting, I hurt again. Understand, it comes to a point when you got to make a decision. You say you want to be a designer, so why don't you design your clothes and stop worrying about who you're going to fall in love with? Won't you try to love that? Because once I get in love, I put everything, every hope, every dream on hold for you. And you prosper and you give me your butt to kiss because you didn't get what you came to get. And that's why I'm telling you, you gotta be careful of the seasonal people that's in your life for seasonal. Because they only come to teach you what you need to know in that season. He taught me. I ain't feared. I only claim it. I'm just a man trying to get better. And I'm trying to live with me. And I want whatever the work God intends for me to do, that it may glorify Him and not me. You understand what I'm saying? Because once you have a spiritual awakening, you can only have a spiritual awakening when you do the 12th step and not 1, 2, 3. When you have a conscious contact, when you're able to say, I'm sorry, when you're able to look at you and tell yourself the truth, you got to be able to tell yourself the truth. Because if not, you get ready to set yourself up. I say, God, tell me what to do. I think I understand now. I'm supposed to be in a house right now. Right now. But God said, since you wanted to take the detour, so let me just take you all the way back where it started, where your vision began. Because when you do the 12 step, you get a vision of your life. And God will put you on a path. But it's your job to stay on the path. See, the disease job is to take you off the path and do you over here. It's supposed to set you up. You good talking NA people, you're supposed to set you up. You think the disease is not listening to what I'm saying right now? Soon as you get out there, somebody gonna step on my brand new tennis shoes, because you know I bought a brand new tennis shoes.
Right.
And I'm gonna look at them all crazy. But practicing the principles. Love. I'm just beginning to accept what love is. 16 years in recovery. And I know that love is not having sex. Lust is not trying to have control over people. And when I said, when people show you who they are, believe them. Believe them. If they're inconsiderate, believe them. They're not going to change no time soon. When they say they don't want to be around your friends, believe them. Don't make them. I'm telling you. Because one more time, you put yourself in God's position to try to change somebody who's not willing to change. They are all right. See, the process is with me. It's time for me to change. It's time for me to look at somebody differently. You understand what I'm saying? Got a thing to do with my companion. You understand what I'm saying? Because I have much love for him. But I know that he is not the man for me. I would love to think so, because I didn't saw the picket fence and the dog and all that skipping and all that mess. It ain't real. Why don't you try to get a relationship with me? That's what God said in meditation. Well, why don't you try that one? You done tried every kind of relationship. You lust after everything else. Why don't you try the relationship with me and lust after me? Because the reward that I'm going to give you is greater than anything that you can give me. And I'm going to... Okay. I just want to say this. And I'm through. Can't no disease or man curse what God has blessed. But you got to know that you're blessed. We ain't talking about religion. You got to know that you're blessed. And you got to know that you are wonderfully and creatively made. You have to know it. And you can't let people validate who you are. You can't do it. Because it's not going to work. It's just temporary anesthesia. I know today that I am more man than I have ever been in my life. In my life. I got sponsees. See, I didn't really see the whole picture. See, the whole picture wasn't actually for me. The whole picture was for the people that who I sponsor. You understand what I'm saying? People in my network. Because they look at me as a glimpse of hope. So I can't tell my sponsees not to hoe if I'm hoeing. So when I tell my sponsees, you know what? Keep doing whatever you're doing. You'll get tired of doing it. Then I'll take you to the steps. Because I know it don't work. I've tried it, tested it. I've done it several times. It don't work. But I just thank God that it's my process. I thank God that I haven't found it necessary to use. You know what I mean? And I really appreciate y'all being here for me. And thanks for letting me share.
That was a great message. Our next speaker, our second speaker, is Tex W. from New York. Thank you.
Hello, family. My name is Tex. I'm a grateful recovering addict. Now I got to go through this nervous thing. And I think the reason why I'm nervous is because I'm getting ready to put y'all in my business. I am. Just give me a moment. Let me fix my clothes. You know, I was sitting here listening to you. Very good message. And I want to thank the committee for asking me to share on this topic, Love of Us. I've done this topic quite a few times, and each time I've done it, I've been in a different place. Thankfully, this time I'm not in pain, but I've been in so much pain during my 14 years of recovery that I could speak on the topic very well, because that's my life. Lusting. Thinking is love. And what I found out is that lust for me, when you talked about the control piece, lust for me is like my little toys. You know, I get a toy and I want to play with it. And then when I'm tired of it, I want to throw it back in the toy bin. But it don't work like that because I done moved it in. You know what I'm saying? You know, because I bring my toys home with me. And then when I look up and I don't want to play no more, I don't know how to get them out. You know, and the whole thing about me with the toy thing is because by me, when I was out there, I was a lady of the evening. Let's talk about that for a moment. And for y'all that don't know who the lady of the evening is, ask somebody, you get it. I only came out at night. And when I came out at night, I wore very teeny skirts. And I did favors as long as you had money. And I was raised, I started this when I was 16 years old, so I was raised that's a business. You know, I've seen plenty, you know, they go in and they get their shit off and everything, but I don't know how that mixed with money. I was raised that it's a business. So if I rob you, it's nothing personal. I just want a little more. Because that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to rob you. So you can't have a connection with people if you're going to do those things. I want you to follow where I'm going, because a lot of people don't understand where you come from, but I'm going to try to show you something. I was raised not to love. See, my mama didn't love me. So I don't know what it is to be loved. So it wasn't hard for me not to love. I wanted to find out what the feeling was, but once I got in it and I found out what you had to do, I went all the way. So I ain't going in the room to bust a nut. I went in there for one thing only. I'm going to service you for the money that you've given me in the small amount of time I'm going to give you. So there's no love lost, because fair exchange is no robbery. But if I find out that you have a little bit more than what I expected you to have, I'm going to take a tip. So what I find out is that I did that for a lot of years. In order to become a hustler, you can't have no love. And the type of hustles I did. I wasn't a prostitute always, but I'm just trying to show you how I get to the point that I didn't feel that I ever had to give anyone any feelings. See, it's to the day it's hard for me to lay down and give myself, and there's no money. Okay. I'm talking about some real shit. I don't know about nobody. I'm talking about me. You know, because the money is what make me love you. You know, I love you a lot, the more money I see. You know, you be daddy and everything else. Boo boo, ba 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 be de my mother be there. But if you don't have no money, everything shuts down. I get a headache. I can't talk. Lay down. You know, I instantly become sick. I'm going through so much. So this is how I grew up. And then I land here. And they talk about this love thing. You know, I hear people stand up there talking all this stuff. And when I first came in, I used to stand up and say, look, I stick and move. I'm going to give a fuck. You know, men say that, but I was saying it. I stick and move. I don't tell. I don't care who you with. Let's do this. You know what I'm saying? I ain't give a fuck. But then something happens on the way to the park. You start changing without your permission. You know, because I came in here, I still want to be, you know, I want to be in the street, you know. But then that shit started happening. And I started getting these feelings that I didn't understand. So now, the lady of the evening becomes the trick. The roles reverse. You know, ain't no more paying me. I want to pay you. I'm tired of this skirt. I'm going to let it fall off in a minute. But check this out. Now, I'm in this thing. Everybody's tiptoeing through the tulips and looking in the skies and loving and caring. And I love you until you love yourself. And think. And easy does it. And keep coming. Oh, that was my favorite saying. Keep coming. I never got to keep coming back. I just stopped to keep coming. You know what I'm saying? You know, now, I'm in here. My first year is fake. But I can't give up the lifestyle. I'm still hustling. You know, because, you know, I'm still in that, you know, I got to show y'all. Don't y'all know who I am? So money is really not an object. So I start paying for my toys. And one thing I found out about what you said is so true. Is that when you buy something and it gets to where they want to go, then they don't want to play no more. So now you feel that, because it ain't nothing but control when you buy stuff. Because if I pay for you, then you do what I tell you to do. That's all it is. But now you don't want to do what I tell you to do no more. Now you want to get slick because you got a few things, because everything I've been giving you, you've been holding on to, so you can go to the next one and give them what I gave you. And then you want to talk shit to me. But see, I didn't have no program, so I don't have no sense. See, I don't know about nobody else. You know, some people take that shit and they want to cry. Why are you talking about me? Now you need to die. You know, because you can't take my shit and talk shit to me, too. You know, I don't know about none of that. And see, my aunt told me you'll crawl up on the rock to find a bum. See, I had to have a bum because I felt that I was lifting you up. You know, I thought I was one of God's chosen disciples, that he had picked me to lift people up out of their damnation. But then, what comes with it? You don't like that feeling after you don't want to play anymore. You know, our thing was, you know, one leave you... get a Band-Aid. Now, you done got the Band-Aid involved. Now you need another Band-Aid, and you got to get that rid of that one. And that was my whole life. And every time I looked up, I had another year. And that's how I get 14 years clean, because that's all I ever did, is peel a Band-Aid off and put another one on. Never had one or nothing. Couldn't function with one. Had to have more than one. Because you know when I got high, I smoked dust with reefer. I sniffed dope and smoked crack. I shot dope with coke. I always had to have a combination. So I always had to have two. You know? And see, it wasn't no problem with me in having two, because I learned with people, they get all fucked up. But me, you would never know I had somebody else. Unless they told it. See, I don't know what it is about people. They don't know how to sneak. They need to tell shit. You know, I never understood that. Why are you telling? Because, you know, with me, as soon as you tell it, I'm going to cut you off. You know, I ain't got time because I don't need no problems. You know what I'm saying? But what happens is, for me, is that you get that one bum. Yeah, I'm talking about, you know, I'm talking about tax. I ain't calling nobody a bum. I'm talking about what I do. You get that one bum that you really try to help. But I didn't know when I met it in the back of the meeting that the bum was a crackhead. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, I didn't say that? In recovery. With like 8 or 9 years clean, I picked up a crackhead. And the whole thing about when I picked up the crackhead, and once I discovered it's a crackhead, now I want to keep it a secret. See, y'all can't tell, I can't tell y'all that the great I am that go all over speaking is sleeping with a crackhead. And the crackhead is robbing her. I can't tell nobody that. So now I'm living in turmoil. Now I'm trying to stop a motherfucker from using because I told you I'm one of God's disciples. And they tell you that you're sick is your secrets, but I didn't think I was sick. I didn't have a problem. I'm giving the program. But the more I gave the program, the more that person smoked. Now I got this toy. The toy is smoking. I can't get rid of it. I can, but I won't. I must help the crackhead. You know, I was looking at my change drawer. I had one of those big water jars that was almost to the top when I picked up the crackhead. And I kept seeing the jaw go down. And I kept telling, I'm going to tell you about what the disease do for you when you're locked and loaded. This is lust. This is not love. This is some sick shit. Sick shit is lust. I told myself that the jaw was the same. I'm trying to help somebody because you might have a crackhead right now. I'm talking about looking at something, knowing I was getting robbed, and telling myself I'm looking at it wrong. Looking for my jewelry and telling myself I hit it. I'm talking about being locked and loaded on a fixed idea. Clean. I'm talking about not letting nobody know. Suffering. Not wanting to use. Because anytime you see a motherfucker leave with their shoes on and come back without any. That shit scared me to death. I'm talking about clean. I'm talking about in recovery. I'm talking about speaking. I'm talking about holding secrets and lying. So I go to speak in Philly. And I don't know what topic it was or something, whatever. So I got up to speak on the topic. Let me show you about how God worked. I got up to speak on the topic. And I just start screaming. Okay. I'm living with a crackhead. And you know, the initial shock, everybody was like, oh shit. Until they really seen how serious I was, because I was fucked up. I broke down, baby. God said, I'm going to make you tell it. Because you're as sick as your secrets. If you don't tell this, you're going to end up smoking. But I know y'all think after that I left and I got rid of it. You know, I'm trying to tell you about when you don't have no self-love. See, I I believe in that wholeheartedly. You can't love nobody until you love yourself. But see, I love myself, but it took me years to get there. See, I had to go through this. I had to go through this because every time I went through this, God put me in the fetal position and brought me back to Him. Because I didn't believe in Him. I didn't want no parts of Him. Because if you was a God, how did I do all the things that I did? How did I use like this? Why would you take my family from me when I was young? Why did I always have to fend for myself? And you talk about you's a loving God. I didn't want to hear it. So now I'm going to do things on my own. I'm going to do it my way. Stand over there, Lord, until I get to you. This is how I was living. And every time He would break me down in the fetal position, and every time I come out of it, I put Him back over there. But what happens is that every time I went into the fetal position, and even though I put Him back over there, I kept getting closer to Him. Because He starts stripping away the things. Oh, you don't want to pay attention. You think you got it? Give me that car. Oh, if you like money, you won't make no more. Let me take away that overtime. Got to the point I didn't even know how I was going to make it. And there was people that helped me. Easy. I'm talking about when you're at your lowest, you don't know who's going to come up and help you. And then they acknowledge you for that easy. But it's in God's time. I just want to say thank you for helping me when I couldn't help myself. So now I'm on my way to a meeting, and I'm sitting at the light, and I see these people running in and out this building, and I said, damn, they got some good shit in there. I don't even know what they got in there. I just said it's good. So my thought is, when the light changed, I pulled off, and then I said, let me go in there and get it. And when I went to back up, another recovering addict came and slammed his hand on the hood of my car and said, where you going? I said, I'm going to the meeting. Because at that moment, I wanted to use, because when you back yourself up in a box and you don't know where else to go, the only place you can go is what you know best. That's what we think to do. See, I'm talking about when you're in lust, we do some of the sickest shit. And we think it's love. You know, lust had me sitting outside of somebody's house. With the engine on. Waiting. God never let me see them. Because I'd be in the penitentiary right now. I'm talking about when you done all you could do, but you tell yourself that another person has done something to you because you haven't allowed them the right to make their own decisions. See, me, you're going to make the decision I need you to make. And the decision is me. So I got tired of being in pain because, you know, they say you keep doing the same things looking for different results over and over and over and over again. And I shared one time and I said, I'm going to keep doing it until I get it right. But what happened is that I got to a point in my life that I got closer to God and I started doing step work vigilantly. And I started being by myself and I removed myself from the things that I love more than anything. And that's clothes, material stuff. I started getting rid of it. I stopped buying it. I stopped having sex. And it's not that I love sex, but that was my control piece, sex. I stopped having all of that. I stopped doing the things that was lustful to the world. Because I found out in order to get right with God, you got to give up something. And you got to give up something that you like, that you call yourself loving. So I give up those things. And I started to not have more than one. Not do the things that always I thought was right. And I started working on me. I started being able to look in the mirror and look at my face and not just from here down. I started telling myself, you know, I like you today. I started giving my own self affirmations until I could begin to deal with me and love me for who I am and not who you feel I should be. See, all my life, I always wanted to validate whoever was on my arm. And it ain't that they wanted that. I felt that they needed to have that. You know, because, you know, I'm text. You always get more out of me than what you're supposed to have because I never picked nobody that felt that they was worthy of nothing. So I made them feel like they were kings. And they said you could take a bum out the gutter, but you can never get the gutter out the bum. And I choose gutter kings. So I start working on myself, and I get rid of somebody that's been sitting on my couch for 5 years. And they ask me about the person, and the only thing I can say is they got my back. Well, where they work? They got my back. What they do? They got my back. Well, goddamn. Well, what is it that they worth? They got my back. They did nothing and didn't even want them. That's the hit. So busy running, never had a chance to even look that the person is still in the same position that you left them in 4 years ago. Couch is one-sided now. That's how I remember they was there. And then he said, when the pupil is ready, the teacher will appear. No matter how many people that you have in your life that you never got past, but I believe that everybody that comes into your life is for a reason. I don't believe that there's no experience and there's no human being that has crossed your life that wasn't meant to be there. And I take all of, they said, always look at something bad, a negative, and turn it into a positive. So what I did is I took all my experiences and I learned that I'll never have those type of experiences again if God's willing. Because now, excuse me, when I get something that's not for me, he presents it to me quicker. He don't let me linger as long. So what happened is you meet somebody and that person that shows you genuine love, you don't really know how to accept it because you ain't never been given that. So now you want to poke holes in that person and find something wrong with them because you need to push them out your life because that's not what you're accustomed to. I'm talking about having something that's good for you, but constantly telling yourself it ain't because you don't want to identify with things can be that good. You need to still have that grimy, dirty, low-down shit in your life. See, I thought you'd love me if you bust me in my head or something and knock me down. You know, that's saying I love you. And if you didn't do that, be sure before the relationship was over, you was going to have to do it, or I was going to tell you how much of a punk motherfucker you was. And what I found out is that I seek more pain than I ever did pleasure. Because when you're in lust, there's no enjoyment in that. That's that sick shit. Lust is just not looking at something and getting hot or nothing. Lust is when you get into something and it becomes compulsive. It's so magnified and you think that you can't live without it. I got to have it by any means necessary. I will kill anything that get in my path. Because I lust it. Lust is that person that you said God brought to you.
Tell him that.
Oh, he brought this to me. He sent this. Specially packed with your name on it. So what happens when you get the good person in your life? You start poking holes in it. But God keep telling you, leave it alone. But you, because you don't feel worthy.
No.
You don't feel worthy. Because your mama didn't love you. Abandonment issue. You don't feel that you're worthy of somebody loving you. So you got to make them feel bad about taking the time and showing you something that not no other human being has ever showed you. Because you don't want to give them their props. So what we do is we destroy. So what I'm trying to do now is I'm trying to work on stop pushing people out of my life that mean me some good. Because when you have that, there's nothing that can replace it. And because as addicts, we have been so fucked up, because if we wasn't, we wouldn't have used. That we tell ourselves and we put ourselves in illusions that things that make us feel good, taste good, look good, that's love. Love is when you can be with somebody unconditionally. Because human beings have faults. They're going to fall short. But can you hang in there for the long haul?
That's the hint right there.
Well, I'm the only one. They cheated. And you cheated. We all cheated. So what are we going to do? Hang them up to the ceiling? Newsome? People fall short, man. If you love somebody, man, love them unconditionally if they're worth it. I'm not just talking about lust. I'm talking about love. I'm talking about somebody that gives you that equal thing. And I hear people say, well, we got to come to the table 50-50. I ain't talking about assets. A human being's love, you couldn't even buy it. You can't buy that. You can't measure that. Do you know how hard it is to find somebody to care about you today? To love you in spite of yourself? I'm talking about being a friend to a person. You have to be a friend before you can be a lover. You can lay down and screw anybody. That ain't nothing. I'm talking about a friend. Being a person's friend, man. No matter what. There's nothing that we're not capable of doing. But how many of us can stand by your side when you're down? See, people like me, you don't want ride or die with you no matter what. You could be wrong. You're still right. When we get away, I might say, how the fuck you do that? But right now, right now, we down, we going down together. Look, they gave me the time sign. I don't know who I help. This is what keeps me going, and this is what makes me continue doing selfless service. Because when you think you're alone, you find out how many people's hearts you touch. And thank you for letting me share.
May I have your attention, please?